It is good to see so many of you back on this Sunday evening. I'm sure, like me, you have your favorite Bible passages. And some passages may not be your favorite, but they may be among your most interesting reads. We always have passages that are our favorite sometimes because they bring back memories. Perhaps they were a favorite of a loved one of ours. It could be we have a favorite because it goes to a thought that most encourages us or most strengthens us at certain times. But then there are passages that just kind of make you scratch your head, not because you don't understand them, but because you can't fully grasp or comprehend or fathom everything that the passage is saying. And an example of that is where I'd like to start this evening. It's a passage in the book of Psalms. I believe it'll be familiar to you once we're there. It is Psalm 139. We're not going to read the entirety of the psalm, but just the opening part. Psalm 139. The psalmist writes, saying, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting up and my rising, my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Well, let's stop right there for just a moment. I can't help but wonder about what we've already just read. Before we go one step further, what the psalmist is saying is that there's not a thought in our minds that God already knows it. There's not a word from our lips, but God already is aware of it. In other words, you're not going to surprise God. And I know from time to time we surprise one another. We sometimes even surprise ourselves and wonder, why did I say that? Why did I do that? What was I thinking? We don't surprise God. He knows us inside and out, our thoughts, our words, our intentions, our inclinations, our strengths, our weaknesses. There's nothing about you that God does not know. Nothing about your plans that God does not understand. Nothing at all about your thinking, which you think is your own private world. Those thoughts within our minds, when we're going back and forth with that voice within our heads, not knowing sure who we're talking to or who's leading the conversation, God knows about that. And he's a part of listening to that, aware of that, which, as I say, it's easy to say, well, yes, that's true because God is God. But then you start to think about it and ponder what that means and just how that's even possible. And like I say, it boggles the mind. I can understand it, but I can't comprehend it. I can't fathom it. And that's what the psalmist goes on to say when he describes all of this. He goes on to say, you comprehend my path, my lying down, acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue. But he goes on to say in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Well, skip down now to verse number 13. He says, you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's parts of that I don't comprehend, and some I don't fully understand about the days being fashioned for me. That's the Lord's business and not mine. And how far that goes and what that involves and how much that encapsulates, that's His business. It's not mine. But I do know this, whatever it means, this suggests that God knows me and has known me from before I was able to know myself. How far back can you go in memory? Sometimes when you're trying to find something to talk to somebody about, when that somebody is not really conversant in anything, and we all talk about things like that with people like that from time to time, people that are just difficult to make conversation with. Sometimes a good conversation starter is, what's the first memory you have? Or maybe it's Christmas time. What's the first Christmas you remember? Or birthday. What's the first birthday? Or what's the favorite birthday you had? And you'll find people that aren't very talkative, they get so. Because when they start conjuring up these memories of the past, they're interested all of a sudden in sharing. But I'm asking you right now, what's the first memory you have? And I'll just tell you, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but your first memory may not even be a memory. Most of us, the very first thing we remember is what somebody told us happened, and over time we've so ingrained that story into our own minds that we think we remember it. But if you don't believe that, you don't have to, because the lesson's not about the truth of that. But if you want to believe me, go ahead. But how far back can you remember? Some people say, and I've even talked to a person or two like this, strange people they are, who say, I remember the day I was born. I remember my dad every time he'd have a birthday. And it was interesting that, of course, Dad was older than all of us kids were. That's obvious. Older than Mother, but interesting that he was born and raised just a couple of farms down from where she was raised, and she was just enough younger that he can remember her birth, he said. And my father's mother was the midwife that delivered my mother, which means nothing to you, but it's fascinating to me. But he always said on his birthday, I was there for all of you when you came around. But he says, let me tell you what happened with me. And it'd be the same story. He said, my mother was out picking cotton like she always did. And she finished a row and had me. And then he said, I helped her pick the next row. And that was his first memory. So some of our first memories aren't even true. But the point is, no matter how far back you can go in remembering, God can go back further. Do you remember what it was like when your little body was being formed in your mother's womb? Of course you don't. If you say you do, you don't. But God does. That's exactly what we just read is saying in clear fashion. That when we were being formed within the womb, God knew about that, was a part of fashioning us there in the womb. Which tells me that from the moment of my conception all the way to death and through eternity, God knows me. And as I say, it's beyond my ability to fully fathom, but it helps me to understand that I am not in this thing alone. I never have been. Nobody is born alone because God is with them. No one lives alone because God can be right there with them. No one dies alone because God can be right there with them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. From Psalm 23. Now, there's a song in the book that I don't know if you know or not. You'll find out in just a minute when I tell you the number, which I'm about to do. 420. 420. Now, I'm going to ask a question that means nothing, because we're going to sing it regardless of the answer. But how many of you know 420? Okay, we've got a few. This will make this a memorable experience to the rest of us. I had never seen the song before, and I was browsing through the book several days ago, and I ran across this song, and I'll tell you that the melody doesn't really strike me as that significant or that meaningful, but the words cut deep, and they go direct to the thoughts we've had already from Psalm 139. Let's sing the first verse and see how it goes. Search me, O God. We all know it. So let's sing verse number 2. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. That song speaks well from what we've just read to reveal to us a fact that I think we already knew, but we don't think about it as often as we should. Oftentimes when this subject comes up, the first thing that comes to mind is that's terrifying. I don't want God to know my ugly thoughts. I don't want God to hear my misplaced words. I don't want God to see things I'm keeping secret from others. I'm afraid for God to see me. And yes, God does see those things that you wish that nobody could see. He sees everything. But the Bible speaks in a couple of places of that very fact and also says he sees the good as well. In fact, the last of Ecclesiastes that, remember, ends with that great conclusion, teaching us that we should respect, fear God, and keep his commandments, this being the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. That's what we're talking about, the secret things, whether they be good or evil. And again, the wise man also said in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So as you may be terrified that God sees the wrong you do, keep in mind he's a God of grace and forgiveness. But also remind yourself that those things that you do and intend to do that are good, that nobody sees, nobody notices, nobody appreciates, nobody cares about, when you're feeling as if you're so very much the victim. You're doing all the work and nobody cares. You're doing all the work and somebody else is getting all the credit. It's just not fair. Nobody notices. God sees. God notices. And God takes account of not just the wrong he sees in you, but the good he sees in you as well. He sees everything. But one more passage to go along with this one. If you'll turn to the New Testament now, the book of Hebrews and chapter 4. The last of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace, and find grace to help in time of need. This adds an extra dimension to what we've been talking about from Psalm 139, because enough time has gone by, enough world events have happened, enough has changed that there's a new ingredient that wasn't even available back in the days when the psalmist wrote the 139th. Jesus had come. We sometimes describe God as being omnipotent. He knows everything. But there are different kinds, types of knowledge, even for one omnipotent. It's one thing to know what someone's thinking, to know what someone is saying, and to know how they're being fashioned in the womb from the very beginning of life itself. And something else to know what it feels like to be that person. That knowledge of experience was impossible even for God to have until his own Son came and lived among us. And then for the first time in all of history, the only time in all of history, heaven came down and glory touched our souls, as the song says. God in Christ, Emmanuel, became man, became one of us. And now God knows not just what we're thinking, but how it feels to be thinking what we are. He doesn't just see our sorrows and have concern and interest and love for us in the midst of them. He now in Christ, because of Christ on his right hand, knows what it feels like to have those sorrows. You weep at the loss of a loved one. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You are filled with upset and discomfort over the sins of this world. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. You know what it feels like to have people misunderstand you and mischaracterize your words? That was the life of Jesus from first to last. You want to know what it feels like? Because you do. To have life treat you unfairly? Well, Jesus knows what that feels like because he was treated unfairly. And there's a sense there of God knowing me that way. That if it was possible before Christ came and revealed all of that to the Father, the Bible doesn't talk about it. Again, I'm always hesitant to go beyond what the Bible says and speculate. But if it were the case that God knew what it felt like from within us to feel as we do, that's never mentioned until Christ came. and lived among us. And as the writer says here, he's able to be our great high priest, offering himself as an offering once and for all, a sacrifice for all people and all times of people. And he does that knowing full well not just that we think and what we're thinking, but how it feels to be thinking as we do. He doesn't just see our sorrows and understand our sorrows. He knows what it feels like to have those sorrows. And you might be thinking, well, that's the very person I'd like to be talking to God on my behalf. Well, that's the very person talking to God on your behalf. The Bible says right now, where is Jesus? He's on the right hand of the throne of God. And what's he doing there? The Bible says he's advocating for us. That's a legal term. He's speaking in our defense before the Father. But also he's interceding for us, pleading our case. And no one can better plead our case than one who was down here and lived as one of us and knows what it's like to look through these eyes and think with this mind and deal with this world from the inside out. Turn to 525 as we close. 525. Because of all of that, Jesus does not just care about us. He knows about us, and he knows just what we need. 525. My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He today or tomorrow, this week or next, don't forget. God loves you. God knows you. And God cares about you. And if you're one of his own, doing your best to do his will, please know that all things work together for good to those who love him. Because he cares about you. And when you think you're all alone, nobody can possibly understand what you're going through. God does. And so with your difficulties, with your problems, best place to go is to God in prayer. If you're with us tonight and outside of Christ, come to him in gospel obedience. If you're a child of God but have strayed, come back. God is a God of forgiveness. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.